Lord Jesus, you deserve all the honor. You saved me. You provided a way for every human being to be right with God, your Father. And you sealed it, Lord, with your blood. You sealed this way, God, this new covenant. You gave your life for everyone, Lord, that their sins would be forgiven. And that you would die, Lord, and rise again. And we would live in newness of life, no longer slaves, Lord, to sin, but heirs of eternal life, partakers of abundant life. And God, just ready to just be motivated and to be empowered by your presence, Lord, living in us. So we thank you for such an immeasurable gift. And you get all the glory, Jesus Christ. In your name only, we pray, amen. Hello, this is Michael Ryan. Welcome to Knowing Jesus. You can subscribe to these podcasts by just going to iTunes, search query, and typing in Michael Ryan's Booze. I'm going to read to you from Romans 6, and then the Message. And I'm choosing to do it this way because I believe that it's really clear. And I really want my goals for eyes to be open and for people to really understand what it means to be in Jesus and how that relates to sin. So I'm going to jump right in. So what do? Keep on sinning so God can keep on forgiving? I should hope not. If we've left the country where sin is sovereign, how can we still live in our old house there? Or didn't you realize we packed up and left there for good? That is what happened in baptism. When we went under the water, we left the old country of sin behind. When we came up out of the water, we entered into the new country of grace, a new life and new land. You see, that's what baptism into the life of Jesus means. When we are lowered into the water, it is like the burial of Jesus. When we are raised up out of the water, it is like the resurrection of Jesus. Each of us is raised into a light-filled world by our Father so that we can see where we're going in our new grace sovereign country. Could it be any clearer? Our old way of life was nailed to the cross with Christ, a decisive end to that sin miserable life, no longer at sin's every beck and call, hallelujah. What we believe is this: if we get included in Christ's sin-conquering death, we also get included in his life-saving resurrection. We know that when Christ Jesus was raised from the dead, it was a signal of the end of death as the end. Never again will death have the last word. When Jesus died, he took sin down with him, but alive, he brings God down to us. From now on, think of it this way. Sin speaks a dead language that means nothing to you. God speaks your mother tongue, and you hang on every word. You are dead to sin and alive to God. That's what Jesus did. That means you must not give sin a vote in the way you conduct your lives. Don't give it the time of day. Don't even run little errands that are connected with that old way of a life. Throw yourselves wholeheartedly and full time. Remember, you've been raised from the dead into God's way of doing things. Sin can't tell you how to live. After all, you're not living under that old tyranny any longer. You're living in the freedom of God. So, since we're out from under the old tyranny, does that mean we can live any old way we want? Since we're free in the freedom of God, can we do anything that comes to mind? Hardly. You know well enough from your own experience that there are some acts of so-called freedom that destroy freedom. Offer yourselves to sin, for instance, and it's your last free act. But offer yourselves to the ways of God, and the freedom never quits. All your lives, you've let sin tell you what to do, but thank God, Jesus Christ, you've started to listen to a new master, one whose command sets you free to live openly in his freedom. I'm using this freedom language because it's easy to picture. You can readily recall, can't you, how at one time the more you did just what you felt like doing, not caring about others, not caring about God, the worse your life became and the less freedom you had? And how much different is it now as you live in God's freedom, your lives healed and expansive in holiness? As long as you did what you felt like doing, ignoring God, you didn't have to bother with right thinking or right living or right anything for that matter. But do you call that a free life? What did you get out of it? Nothing you're proud of now. Where did it get you? A dead end. But now that you've found you don't have to listen to sin tell you what to do and have discovered the delight of listening to God telling you, what a surprise. A whole healed, put together life right now with more and more of life on the way. Work hard for sin your whole life and your pension is death. But God's gift is real life, eternal life, delivered by Jesus our Master. You are truly free. Friends, you are truly free. The resurrection of Jesus Christ has so many benefits for your life, both now and for eternity. But I really want to encourage you that right now, the power of sin, it doesn't have to have master over you. And you may be thinking, well, Mike, I believe all that. I believe that Jesus Christ died for me. I believe that he lived in me. But I still struggle with sin. I still do. And I just want to encourage you that, look, understand that you still have your sinful nature. You still have your weakness. And until we see the Lord Jesus, we will not be free of our sinful nature. But we're free from the power of sin, and it can still be beneficial to you because there's two main ways that sin has dominated us in the past. The first one is its power in terms of when we have those sinful or lustful temptations, we present ourselves to sin. Now, not in the Message version, but in your New King James or King James or NASB or I believe in NIV, it talks about presenting yourself, not to sin, but to righteousness to God. And it's important that you understand that our lustful desires, that sin calling towards us, that sin beckoning towards us. When you feel temptations and lustful thinking and these strong impulses and automatic kind of just feelings of wanting to do something sinful, that's just the beginning. That's sin calling you. And before, you had no other nature. You wanted to automatically just present yourself to sin, present your body to be used by sin, whether it's your tongue to put somebody down, whether it's your mind to lust and fantasize, whether it's any other part of you to go to sin. But the resurrection of Jesus Christ has raised you. And how did it raise you? Well, Jesus Christ now lives in you. And now your new life is Jesus Christ. You were crucified on the cross. That old way where you had no conscience about living a crazy life or a life that was apart from God. That's been put on a cross and you died and now there's a new you and that's Jesus. And if Jesus lives in you, his presence is enough. Presenting yourself to him and worshiping him and letting his presence in you work its power, that's enough. You see, the trap and deception of the power of sin is that it makes you feel like you need to present yourself to sin in order to satisfy you, in order to get rid of those emotions of temptation and lustful desires. It makes you believe that that's what you really need. But now that you have the presence of God, it's important that you learn how to trust the presence of God living in you. It's important you learn how to rely on the Holy Spirit. Don't let the faith just be you relied on Jesus Christ for salvation. And now you read the Bible and you go to church and you do the right thing so you can try to live good. That's not how it is. You've got to rely on God all day long. You've got to rely on the power of God all day long. That's where the faith grows. That's where you start to understand and see for yourself that He's alive. Because when those temptations and those lustful desires hit you, you've got to go to Him and say, Lord, fill me with your presence. Lord, I want to do these sinful things, but I know your presence is good enough. Satisfy me with you. Keep me. Protect me. Give me the tools I need to not give in to this, Lord. I can't fight it. You fight it. That's the first tool that we have, Jesus Christ. That's how we get over the power of sin to want us to satisfy those lustful desires. The second thing that sin does to get us is guilt. When we do fall, when we do stumble, it makes us feel like we can't go to God. It makes us feel unworthy, like we've got to just, hide our head in shame. We isolate ourselves from God. We isolate ourselves from other people who serve God. We just want to be alone with our guilty, ugly selves. Sin does that. It isolates it. It works in secret because the more secret your sin is, the stronger it becomes. And it's important that you know that guilt is no longer an issue. That's why Paul opens up by saying, that's why he also says in verse 15, chapter 6, that should we continue in sin? Or should we sin them now that we're not under the law? And it's like, you don't do whatever you want now because we don't have to be guilty. Because that's the reality. You don't have to be guilty because you're not under a law. Your standing will never change. You're just as holy today as you were yesterday when you were in that sin. It doesn't matter whether you had a day full of sin or a day where you didn't sin much. You can't change your relationship to God. You can't change your position to God, who you are to God, His love for you, your standing. You can't manipulate that with good or bad. And so you have a swinging door to always go back and return and enter the presence of God without shame, without guilt, because Jesus was our shame. Remember in Isaiah 53, surely He bore our griefs and our shame. He already bore that. So why would you want to put that on? So you have a revolving door. You have a free swinging door to go into the Lord Jesus Christ's presence and be filled and be lifted and then continue to be overcoming sin. So even if you stumble with sin and you get susceptible to the power of satisfying those lusts, you don't have to stay down, because what happens is that you stay down in the guilt and it allows you to move yourself away from the person, the only person that can help you, which is Jesus Christ living in you. So you move away from Him, and then you end up sinning more. You end up being more susceptible to those lustful temptations and wanting to go to have sin to satisfy them, because you don't have the power of God manifesting Himself in you. You're not being encouraged by other spirit-filled believers any longer. So what I'm saying to you is that guilt can destroy you, but you don't have to be guilty, because every sin in your life was paid for, was covered. It's you're spotless, you're holy, you're perfect, you're victorious, you're acceptable, you're beloved. You're righteous. You have the righteousness of God. You can't change that. You can't undo that. It's a free gift. You can't take it away. So when you stumble and you fall, just go back to business as usual, friends. Just go back to business as usual, because you can't mess up what God's already done for you in heaven. That's why Paul again says, what should we do, whatever you want to do now? And he doesn't even need to say that, but he's saying that to critics, because the reality is, if you have accepted Jesus Christ, you become a new creation. You become born again. And if you become born again, your desire is not sin. Your desire is not sin. If you're a born-again believer, you're not happy living in sin. You're not comfortable living in sin. That's not what your desire is. But that doesn't mean that sin's not still having master over you. That doesn't mean that you're still not letting sin kick your butt and you're hating every minute of it. And that's what I'm trying to minister to you, that you don't have to allow that any longer, but it's going to require you to start trusting in this gospel, to start making it alive, to not allow it to be something that you believed on when you got saved, and now you're just going to go on trying to go through the motions and be the good Christian that God's called you to be and go to church and read your and do all these other things. You've got to really rely on Jesus Christ. You've got to really believe that he has saving power. You've got to really trust in him. You've got to ask for his presence and to give you the faith that you need. You have to, because otherwise you're to be most pitied. And what I mean by that is that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul says that if we don't believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, then we are to be most pitied because our faith is in vain. We might as well just, you know, do whatever we want to do because our sins haven't been forgiven. And I believe that that to not believe that Jesus Christ lives in you and that not only was Jesus raised, but you were raised, it's the same thing because we're joined with Christ. How can you believe that Jesus Christ was raised, but that you weren't raised and that he now lives in you and you have newness of life? They're connected. They're connected. You've been joined with Christ. You've been raised with Christ. You were baptized with him in his death, and you're now baptized with him in his life. You're raised with him. And it's important that you understand that to get through and to allow him to overcome this sinfulness, to allow him to put you on the path you need to be on. Because if you're spending your walk trying to think through how you're not going to sin today, you're not living the abundant life. The abundant life of Christianity is not to be so inwardly focused on whether you're sinning or not. The abundant life is to be worshiping Jesus Christ and to be bearing his light to other people. That's the abundant life. And I guarantee that if you're constantly focused on your sin, you haven't been living the abundant life, because all you're focusing on is guilt, feeling shame, ashamed, feeling like a horrible Christian, the back and forth yo-yo of, I'm connected to God, I just did an awful thing. Oh, I want to be closer to God, but I can't get this right. That's not abundant life. It's not abundant life. I'm telling you, if you want abundant life, start believing and worshiping Jesus Christ today. He's alive right now. Start believing in Jesus Christ and his power right now for you, that he lives in you right now. I think that's what the apostle was trying to get across, that he's been raised and you live with him. You will live with him forever physically, but he lives in you right now spiritually, and you've got to rely on that power. Instead of presenting yourselves to sin, make a habit of presenting yourself to Christ from the moment you wake up in the morning, all day long. Be worshiping him. Be saying, Lord, I present myself to you, a sinner. I have sinful emotions. I have sinful desires. I present myself to you right now, Lord Jesus. Take me. You know, whatever it is that you may say, but be speaking to him. Be communicating with him. He's a real person. He's real. Friends, do you understand that I'm telling you that Jesus Christ is real? Do you believe me? Do you really believe that? Or do you think that he's just some distant God that saved you and you don't really know anything about him and you'll figure it all out when you die and you meet him? Because that's not the abundant life. That's not the new covenant. God said in Jeremiah 31 that no one will have to go around preaching and teaching to go know the Lord, because they'll already know me. Do you know him? He's alive, and he is anxious to begging that you would be reconciled and believe that he is God, he is Christ, he is King, he is Messiah, and he has the ability to not only save you once for all, but save you throughout your day, and to allow you to enter into the abundant life. And I pray you would see that. I really do. I pray that the Holy Spirit would be opening your eyes right now, that you don't have to continue this way if you just would begin to really meditate on the fact that he lives in you, and him in you is your hope, not you conquering the sin. That's not your hope. You're not called to conquer sin. You're called to lay the sin that easily entangles you aside, and to look, fix your eyes on Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of your faith. That's what you're called to do, to present yourself to Jesus Christ. He's already done the work. Don't let guilt and temptation or the power of sin hold you back. Don't. And if you fall, it's okay. Just go back to business as usual of worshiping Jesus Christ, and you'll be in the abundant life. Lord Jesus, I pray that anyone listening would be encouraged, that they know that you're living, you're alive. Lord, we just worship you, Lord. In your name, we love you. Amen.